from the foam. We return now to the great arc in the heavens, traced by Uranus's severed gonads. Cronos had flung the Sky Father's junk, if you recall, far across the sea. We can watch it now. Near the Ionian island of Cythera, it drops, splashes, bounces, rises up again, and finally falls and half sinks beneath the waves. Great ropes of seamen trail in its wake like ribbons from a kite. Where they strike the surface of the sea, a furious frothing is set up. Soon, all the waters bubble and boil. Something arises. From the horrors of patricidal castration and unnatural ambition, it must be, surely, something unimaginably ugly, something terrible, something violent, something appalling that promises only war, blood, and anguish. The whirlpool of blood and seminal fluid foments, fizzes, and foams. Out of the spindrift of surf and seed emerges the crown of a head, then a brow, and then a face. But what kind of face? A face far more beautiful than creation has yet seen or will ever see again. Not just someone beautiful, but beauty itself rises fully formed from the foam. In Greek, from the foam can be rendered as something like Aphrodite. And this is the name of the one who now lifts herself from the spume and spray. She stands on a large scallop shell, a demure and gentle smile playing on her lips. Slowly she alights onto a beach on Cyprus. Where she steps, flowers bloom, and clouds of butterflies arise. Around her head, birds fly in circles, singing in ecstasies of joy. Perfect love and beauty has made her landfall, and the world will never be the same. The Romans called her Venus, and her birth and arrival on the sands of Cyprus on the scallop shell were never better portrayed than in Botticelli's exquisite painting, which once seen is never forgotten. We leave Aphrodite, making her home on Cyprus, and return to Cronos, who is on his way back from the dark caves of Tartarus.